In the name of Jesus, the healer of our greatest ill. Amen. Last year, I had the opportunity to travel to India to view some mission work there. And while I was there, I witnessed many new and fascinating sights. I also witnessed some shocking sights. And one of the most shocking of all took place when we were walking the streets of New Delhi, and we came upon a group of beggars sitting on the dirty and broken up sidewalk. These were some of the most diseased and deformed people I had ever seen. Some of them didn't have eyes. Most didn't have ears, nose, lips. They held up handless arms. They sat on the ground with feetless legs protruding. From their throats came unearthly sounds, gurgling forth from mouths without palates. In front of them was a bowl. They were beggars, begging for money. These were lepers. Lepers living a life of desperation, of helplessness, of hopelessness. Of course, in biblical days, the loathsome disease of leprosy was somewhat common. We read a lot about lepers in the Bible. And the ancients considered lepers to be the living dead. You can understand why. Their appearance was ashen, pale, white, like a corpse. Their flesh was continually falling from their bodies. Their breath emitted a stench that resembled the decaying of a carcass. The living dead. And thus the Jews considered them, like a corpse, to be unclean, untouchable. In our text from Luke chapter 17, Jesus is traveling through the borderland between Samaria and Galilee, and he encounters such an enclave of lepers. From a distance, these 10 leprous men cry out to him. Now, the law of Moses prescribed that they should cry out the words, "unclean, unclean," because they were the ultimate outcasts. That's why our text says here they were outside the city. They spoke from a distance. Only this time they don't cry out to Jesus, "unclean." Their words are these, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This was a cry of dependence, of utter desperation to the only one who could be their hope. And Jesus heard their cry, he saw their need, and he acted on their behalf. But he didn't heal them on the spot, at least it didn't look that way. They continued to be white, ashen, leprous. He simply said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Why? Because that was the prescribed procedure for confirming one's healing, one's cleansing from leprosy. They go. And in so doing, they demonstrate faith. Because they're still ashen, they're still leprous, they're still diseased. It takes faith to trust Jesus' words. The implication of his command is that their healing is assured. That's why they are to go to the priests. And therefore, Jesus' word here is really not even a command. Oh, yes, the verb form is imperative, "show yourselves to the priests." But his word here is really a promise for healing. Jesus' word is not so much a test of their faith as it is food for their faith that strengthens them to respond in faith. And so they do respond. They go. And as verse 14 says, as they went, they were healed. They were cleansed. In sending them to the priest, Jesus had in effect declared them cleansed and healed already. And his word has great power. power to heal. For us as well, Christ's word has great power. It is his word of promise, the gospel, the word of promise for ultimate healing, because each of us had been infected with the ultimate disease. We were in the worst of conditions. The disease that we had was so bad that in comparison, leprosy is just a sniffle, a cough. That's the disease of sin. Sin made us the living dead. Oh yes, bodily alive, at least for a little while, but dead to God. And that's what really counts. As Ephesians 2 said, you were once dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead coram Deo, before God, and thus unclean in his sight, and thus separated from him, outcast from God for eternity. But in Christ's coming, we too have great hope. We have hope in the face of hopelessness. We have help in our desperate need. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus Christ has in effect declared us cleansed. Cleansed of this disease of sin. Whole, healed, right with God once again, no longer outcast. It may not look that way to us. All appearances are to the contrary. But it is true. His word of promise has power. Power to cleanse. Power to heal. Well, with the healing of these 10 lepers, you might think that the narrative is over. You might suspect that the story's done, but that's not the case. As Paul Harvey might put it, there's still the rest of the story. And the rest of the story goes like this. These 10 lepers, as they are on their way, begin to realize that they are cleansed, healed of their leprosy. You might suspect that that would cause them to hurry all the more to get to the priests to confirm their healed condition. But one of them stops. The other 9 keep going on their way. But one of them, a Samaritan, turns and returns back to that border between Galilee and Samaria, back to the place of his healing. He goes there, not just to celebrate his healing, but to thank his healer. Oh, the priests can wait. They'll be available later, but he's got much more important business to take care of, to give thanks to the one who has truly given him life. This life given to him now means everything to him. He is much more interested in being in the presence of the one who caused his healing than those who merely confirm that healing. Our text tells us that this man came back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Jesus. He realized that through Jesus, God's work had been accomplished. He realized that this work of healing through Jesus was God's work. God was the author of this. And so he thanked Jesus, but he praised God with a loud voice. Earlier, before his healing, he had had to muster up strength in those degenerating vocal cords to cry out, "Have mercy, Jesus." But now, with strong and robust and healed voice, he speaks at the top of his lungs, "Praise God." Both are expressions of faith. The expression, "Have mercy," the expression, "Praise God." Because faith recognizes not only the need for healing, but also rejoices in the healer. As Luther has said, the appropriate response of faith to the many gifts of God are to pray, praise, and give thanks. While on a short-term mission trip to the Caribbean island of Tobago, Pastor Jack Hinton of New Bern, North Carolina, was leading a worship service among a leper colony. And at the close of that service, he asked the participants for a request for a closing song. There was a woman who had been turned away from the pulpit, who at that signal then turned and made a request. Pastor Hinton comments, "It was the most hideous face I had ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well. She lifted a fingerless hand into the air and said, 'Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?'" Well, with that, Pastor Hinton was overcome with emotion. He had to dismiss himself from the worship service. Another team member closed the service. And a different member followed Pastor Hinton and said, "Jack, I bet you'll never be able to sing that song again, will you?" "Oh, yes, I will," Pastor Hinton replied. "But I'll never be able to sing it the same way." You see, this leprous woman, like the Samaritan man in our text, demonstrated true faith. She valued the gifts of God, and she valued the giver. She sought the blessings of God in her life, but in so doing, she acknowledged the one who provided those blessings. For true faith not only cries out, "Have mercy," but also, "Hallelujah." True faith not only sings, "Kyrie eleison," but also, "Gloria in excelsis." True faith not only begs for the blessings of God, but in receiving those blessings, counts them, acknowledges them, gives thanks for them. For true faith celebrates not only the healing, but the healer. Amen.